Hey, everybody, before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know we've got another live show coming up. We will be back at Maya Cinemas on Thursday, May 23rd for Furiosa, the latest in the Mad Max series. We are so excited for this one. Joining me to talk about it, we've got Sam Novak, Shahab Zargari, and Tony Gonzalez, a great lineup. It's going to be an awesome movie. We are so excited to talk about it. So make sure to check the show notes. There are opportunities to win tickets. You can also buy tickets, and we hope to see you there Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas for Furiosa. Welcome to a special episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, following up last week's live show from Downtown Cinemas on Hundreds of Beavers, I am talking to the film's director, Mike Cheslick. We had a great little conversation talking about some of the film's actual inspirations. I ran some of our puzzle pieces by him, and we had a fun talk. So we are going to get into that in a second. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. We have a lot of episodes on the way, so make sure you are subscribed. And while you're at it, maybe drop us a little 5-star rating and review. It helps make sure that more people see the show, and then we could do more cool and fun stuff like the live shows and more of these interviews. And also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And with that said, let's get to this conversation with Mike Cheslick, the director of Hundreds of Beavers. All right. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. I am so happy to be talking to you. We, over on Piecing It Together, we did this live show where we were in the theater right after the movie played, and we're talking about what might have inspired Hundreds of Beavers. And I saw you guys posted a letterbox list of inspiration. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the overlap there, but I also want to like maybe get into any other things that kind of maybe popped in your head along the way. But I mean, first of all, though, before getting into other movies that might have inspired Hundreds of Beavers, obviously, we're kind of in the vein with Lake Michigan Monster. Like, what kind of inspired you to kind of go back into the let's mess with everything and just go crazy with as many visual effects and editing and all this kind of crazy stuff that you did?
Well, we just like these strong black and white images. And Lake Michigan Monster was more of our like Guy Madden treatment of a 50s monster movie spoof. Not that we really analyzed 50s monsters movies and like spoofed them precisely like the skeleton of Kadavra or whatever. Like, it was just Ryland's character and us just having ideas and building our little movie around that and keeping it in a black and white style so that it could sort of mask the budget and the shoddy compositing. Then we took a slight step up with Beavers, keeping the black and white and grain, because we like strong black and white images, but again, it just kind of masks the budget, and it's a shorter route to a strong image when you keep your look that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the Guy Madden comparison did come up in our conversation. But as far as like just trying things, like how much of this was script versus like coming together and editing?
This was all storyboards, actually. And then we just shot the storyboards. So I think, you know, everything except the wolf fight was pretty much just shot as boarded. And then the beaver brawl in the third act is that shot list was made closer to the day with the fight choreographer, but everything else was, you know, it was boarded and it had a more of an animation pipeline.
Interesting. Yeah. And I mean, obviously one of the things we talked about was Looney Tunes. So, I mean, the idea that this was, storyboarded mainly versus and traditional script, I find that really interesting. I'm going to kind of gloss over some of the things that we talked about that were on your letterbox list, things like Baron Munchausen, Metropolis, like I said, Looney Tunes, the Gold Rush, stuff like that, because you guys have already
basically said that, yeah, those were big inspirations here. I wanted to throw a few, because I know we don't have too much time, a few of the other ones that we talked about during the conversation. One of them was Cannibal the Musical, which was not on that list. I was wondering if you're a big fan of, like, just the, you know, pure wackiness. I feel like if anybody is still doing this kind of slapsticky stuff, it's Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And not a lot of people are doing that anymore, but you guys are doing it heavily between these two movies.
Thanks. You know, what's funny is we love those guys, but I haven't seen Cannibal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We get it as a comp all the time, though.
That's cool. That's cool. It's a wild one. Absolutely. And also another, like, kind of tangent on that is, you guys have songs in both these movies. Have you considered, you know, full on musical at some point?
That could be fun. I don't have one lined up. Like, it's not a, you know, an idea or a script or anything, but we would certainly enjoy doing something like that. We love original music and hope to have as much original music as possible. I know that these first two movies were so library heavy, but
yeah, sure.
Hopefully the budget's increased and we just keep adding real songs.
I have a feeling they probably will. But another one that came up in the conversation was Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, which, as far as a movie that comes to life in the editing process, I mean, obviously all movies, editing is a big part of the movie making process. But as far as movies that, like, it's editing, like, editing is what kind of brings the whole thing together. Are you a fan of that movie? And I mean, I feel like that is a big part of the process of how you're making these movies.
No, I don't remember it that well. I saw it very young. So honestly, I wouldn't call it an inspiration. But I liked, you know, What's Up Tiger Lily and MXC a lot.
Sure, sure. Yeah, all in that same kind of thing. What about Baz Luhrmann films? That was another thing that came up. Just like the pure filling the screen with so much stuff, like just really kind of taking this visual medium and taking it to 100%. Are you a fan of Baz Luhrmann films?
This is so interesting, actually. This is a fun way. This is a fun game. I have to ask, did you watch, you watched the movie, then guessed, and then looked at our list?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So absolutely. You didn't see the Letterboxd list until after you did your show?
I didn't want to cheat. So, you know, and when we do the live shows, I'm also like just flying blind. I don't have time to like really kind of come up. I've got to think of them right there on the spot. So it's kind of a unique thing that what we did with Hundreds of Beavers.
Okay, cool. Because I'm not trying to be like slippery by saying this, mm-hmm. and like declining another one. This is actually just interesting. But I don't consider Baz Luhrmann a stylistic influence.
Okay.
But I admire him, that I actually worked for him on the Get Down. I did some animation on that.
Oh, nice. Right on. That's very cool. Yeah, that was a cool show. So another thing we talked about is video games. You know, I did see on your list you had the making of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, but I was also thinking of like the whole kind of plot structure of Hundreds of Beavers with like having to level up constantly. And it reminded me a lot of like these casual phone games where, you know, you're constantly having to get new resources to be able to buy bigger weapons or bigger equipment to then be able to farm more resources. And, you know, the cycle continues. Were you thinking about that?
Yeah, totally. I think that structure is really satisfying and it's not so different from the Campbellian story hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, both of those things are satisfying for the same reason. And I thought they could easily coexist, and it's like, it's basically the same thing. But yeah, ours has follows a stricter video game logic where the inventory is kept track of exactly, and the world map is kept track of, and each location on the map has its own little features. And the, when you get an item, it changes the way you interact with different areas, like a Metroidvania. We're definitely thinking about that.
Right on, right on. Are you guys big gamers?
You know, like, not lately because this movie stuff is so much work, but sure. I just consider it, you know, I'm very influenced by it.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. I think a lot of people of, like, our generation are, but, you know, we had the fabulous Barry Munchausen on the list, but also the Adventures of Barry Munchausen, you know, as far as Terry Gilliam style influences, were you thinking of any of that? Obviously, Monty Python's on there as well.
Yeah, I love Terry Gilliam, and it's probably in there in ways I don't even know the Terry Gilliam influence. I really admire all of those films, especially the even the supposedly bad ones are still, I love them all so much. I think like Brazil is one of the great films.
Sure.
And I don't know, yeah, his, the way that he fills the frame with information, I miss it. we're sort of stuck in the cinema of one thing at a time lately. It's so cool to watch a film that has really filled out the background, the foreground, and the subject with interesting information. I mean, you can't look at your phone while you watch a Terry Gilliam movie.
Yeah. No, that is absolutely true. And I don't think anybody would want to while watching something like Hundreds of Beavers, because there's just like so much fun to be had in a movie like this. But I think another thing that was kind of brought up in passing, but we always bring up Evil Dead on this show. It just happens way too often. I know Evil Dead 2 was on your list, but I did want to bring it up just because listeners of my show know I bring it up all the damn time. And we didn't talk about it on the episode, but, you know, maybe a little bit about that influence.
Yeah, that's one of the main, that's always like a main influence for us. And I think we did a little Evil Dead style shooting in the third act with the fight, maybe, and probably other stuff I'm not even thinking about. But like the Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell thing is like, We're just always going to be influenced by that. I mean, the end of Lake Michigan Monster for sure, and I'm sure it's all over Beavers in ways I don't even know.
The kind of joyful idiot that, you know, you just want to root for, even though he's kind of a dumbass, you know.
Yeah, we think that character is so funny. The Bruce Campbell character,
he's the best.
Always loved it. Was there anything on the Letterboxd list that you were like, I knew it?
Yeah, Evil Dead was one of them, of course. Also, It's a Mad World was one that when I saw that, I was like, oh, why didn't I think of that, you know?
Oh, yeah, the poster is a reference to It's a Mad World, because the movie came in so long that I was like, maybe if we make the poster a knockoff, it'll like, we're like citing historical precedent for a long slapstick, and maybe people will forgive us for the runtime.
I love it. I love that.
I guess that Carl Zeman Munchausen is probably even more of a influence on Beavers because of the like non-realistic compositing, that a compositing can make a strong image but not be realistic. And that was our whole approach.
Sure. I mean, that goes back to, you know, this movie being just so editing heavy and like, you know, doing something visual that you don't see in other movies. And I think that's a big part of, you know, along with the humor, a big part of what is, you know, making this stand out and making people really flock to it right now. The Naked Gun was another one that like was like, oh yeah, of course. And I mean, I think you specifically had Naked Gun 33 and a third. What was that about?
That was the one I always rewatched. I just always rewatched that one. And there's some really elaborate stuff. They do the Potemkin steps, or, you know, or they parody, oh God, they spoof the, oh, they spoofed the Mamet De Palma movie that did the Potemkin reference. What was that movie called?
Oh, what's that?
The Al Capone movie.
Right. Yeah. What the hell was that called?
Was that The Untouchables?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so that's a fun little, it's Naked Gun's kind of spoofing and homage.
Yeah. that's the thing.
Has really, really complex gags that would be so hard to do.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, there's not a lot. I mean, you know, we were just told that there's a new scary movie on the way. But like, you know, spoofs, slapstick, these things don't happen very often anymore. And that was one of the exciting things about this movie, is just seeing somebody try to, you know, bring back that anything goes goofy comedy that we really just don't see that often.
Yeah, I don't know why the genre's been dormant. I think we're benefiting from a lot of just, people haven't seen that movie in a while. So I keep saying, it would be like if no one made a horror film for 30 years, the first guy to make one in a while, everyone would be like, oh my God, I forgot you could do this. But
sure,
it's been a huge part of the American filmmaking tradition. And just for some reason, we didn't do it for a while. Very verbal comedy lately.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one was The Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Oh, just because of the combination. Yeah. I guess I got to say, like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm too slippery for them. I'm really just saying the truth, which is that is not, I would not consider that an influence, but I do like Don Knotts a lot. I really like I really think The Love God is so funny. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen The Love God. No.
That's funny. It's just Don Knotts is a playboy. It's just funny. And then, what's the one in the small town, The Ghost of Mr. Chicken.
I don't know. I got to see that too.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm not like able to say like nailed it. I'm not trying to be cool.
Oh no. Yeah. That's all part of the fun, is like some of the things are absolutely right, like right on the money, and some of them are wrong. I mean, we brought up The Revenant, you know, which was a pretty deep cut that was on that list.
Yeah, originally this was going to be more of a spoof of The Revenant, but I don't think it's a spoof now. I mean, you tell me what you think, but like, we're not like taking what it is about The Revenant and like deconstructing it as a, in a spoof the way that like Dewey Cox deconstructs the Walk Hard or Ray. Like, we're not like spoofing The Revenant. It just turned into another entry in the slapstick genre rather than a satire, I think.
Sure, sure. Yeah, there's a thin line between those kinds of specific kinds of comedies. But yeah, I don't think this really goes into a specific spoof of anything in particular. It's more just slapstick and anything goes, and more of like a style spoof, if anything, of like that kind of old timey kind of cartoon comedy that would usually have a person acting against, you know, either animatronics or cartoons or what have you. But yeah, I don't think like, a spoof specifically.
Yeah, like in my mind, a spoof would take a genre that's serious, like Airplane or The Lost Skeleton of Cadavera or whatever that movie's called. Like those are like, we're not like, I think we're just working in a style of movie. Like, we're influenced by movies that are also silly.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And yeah, was there like one, you know, obviously we have that list to refer back to, but is there like one major influence that this movie had for you? Like that you were like, I got to at least nail like this homage or at least this kind of thing that was done before?
I think the central image of Ryland being chased by hundreds of beavers is from Cops, the Buster Keaton movie.
Okay. All right.
It's a short film. He also does it in Seven Chances, where he's chased by a bunch of like suitors, brides-to-be.
Mm-hmm.
But in Cops, he's chased by a bunch of cops. And it's just, yeah, it's just the antagonist of Cops is 500 cops chasing Buster Keaton.
Sure. That's great. I love it. That's a great place to end this on. Thank you so much, Mike, for doing this interview and, you know, great success with the movie now hitting streaming. And thanks so much for doing it.
Thanks, David. I really appreciate it.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Mike Cheslick, the director of Hundreds of Beavers. If you haven't listened to the main Hundreds of Beavers episode, make sure to go check that one out. Give us a subscribe or follow while you're at it. 5-star rating, review, all that stuff. Very appreciative for everybody who does that. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. Don't forget, we do have a Patreon as well, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, as well as video versions of some of the episodes, including this interview. You can get that at patreon.com/bydavidrosen. There's also a lot of other great content on there. Bonus episodes from Awesome Movie Year, which is another movie podcast that I produce, and from my music career. So lots of stuff over there on the Patreon. I appreciate you being out there listening. Please continue to subscribe, share the episodes, send in your puzzle pieces for all the movies we talk about. But if you want to support the show in that way, it is also very much appreciated. And with that said, let's close this out with a piece of music like I always do. And I know I closed out the main Hundreds of Beavers episode with a weird little Pup Pup song, but we might as well do that again since that album just came out. The Pup Pups is my comedy novelty album of songs about my dogs and cats. And I'm going to play one of the cat ones right now called The Blue Cat Blues, about chasing our blue cats around the house. It kind of fits with Hundreds of Beavers chasing all the animals around the snowy wilderness. So this is the Blue Cat Blues off the new Pup Pups album, Variety Snaps. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
Chasing that cat at midnight, chasing that cat at noon, chasing that cat every single. that kitty just isn't fair. I got the blue cat blue. I got the blue cat blue.
An All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.